The leader of the TUV, Jim Allister, with us today. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this is day two now of our revelations of tax avoidance in Northern Ireland. What are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, I think, of course, there's a lot of unsettling information here, but I think we do have to take hold of the reality that these things are only possible because of the opportunities provided by the legislation. And therefore, if there are loopholes in the legislation, it's no surprise that people will take the opportunity to exploit those. So the answer, first and foremost, has to lie in closing the loopholes. And that primary responsibility is on government and parliament to do that. Now, I do understand when you close one loophole, often another is exploited, and it is really a war of attrition. But
you can't though, Jim, close loopholes, obviously, in Mauritius. And I guess this is the point, that when money is moved offshore, there's not very much the UK Exchequer can do.
No, but you can regulate the export out and the import in of the money and the tax consequences of that. And a key issue here seems to be the capacity to export money out and then purportedly bring it back as a loan. Well, there, I think, is the territory where the law needs to be tightened so that it's beyond difficult to do that and successfully live within the law. The second thing is, obviously, there are many things here for HMRC to investigate in respect of these individual cases. And I would ask the Nolan Show, does the Nolan Show intend to hand over the documents it has to HMRC to facilitate those investigations? Because I think that would be its public duty. And I trust that you will be doing that, because I don't think it would be fair to use the documents to make the points that are made and then conceal the documents from the enforcers, who are HMRC. So I'd like to hear it from the programme that they're going to cooperate with HMRC and give over the documents that help impugn the situation.
Well, that wouldn't be a decision, Jim, just to answer your question, that would not be a decision for the Nolan Show. That would be a decision for the BBC, certainly many layers above me. And no doubt the BBC will follow whatever protocols they have. And there's precedent there. The BBC has had information many, many times, as you know, over the years, and the BBC will follow their protocols. But look, HMRC
are
not...
I'm sure the Nolan Show would have a view about what should be done. I would hope that view would be...
The Nolan Show never has a view on anything, Jim.
Oh, no? All right. Tax avoidance schemes have been on the go for many years, and, of course, people have exploited them, and, of course, it raises moral issues, and I suppose it's particularly acute when it involves moving money offshore, but there's been other tax avoidance schemes for delaying tax. For example, there's been a scheme that some people, by joining syndicates, have been part of in promoting the film industry. Some people have joined schemes like Invicta Film Partnerships, which allows them to defer tax payments for up to 15 years.
Yes.
And HMRC have been investigating those. Has the Nolan programme any information on that?
Well, I'm sure the Nolan Show has, just to call a spade a spade. I don't know why you're skirting around this. I'm tired, by the way, Jim. That's why I'm just I'm slurring my words slightly. I don't know why you're skirting around this issue. I am in a film scheme. Yes, I am in a film scheme. That's been widely reported. And yes, that film scheme, I invested into it, as did many other people. What's your problem?
And one of the reasons for investing...
And by the way, you do not avoid one penny of tax in a film scheme.
You delay the tax for up to 15 years.
Well,
and what's that about if it's not about putting off the day when you pay your dues to society?
Sure. Well,
before people get on too high a horse about all this,
yes,
I think we need to be clear that there are many schemes of tax avoidance and tax delay, some of which may be legitimate, some of which may be more dubious. But, you know, companies who are making employment, who then take the opportunity of tax avoidance schemes, are vilified, understandably, But I think we do have to remember that they're not the only people playing this particular game.
So what do you expect to now happen, Jim? You talk about HMRC. And whatever the BBC does, look, that's a matter for the BBC in terms of the information that they have. HMRC are not blind people. You know, they live blind. I don't mean blind people. They are not people blind to information that is in Northern Ireland. So, you know, some of the HMRC live here. They will have heard these programmes. What do you expect them to now do?
Well, I expect them to come looking for the documentary proof that the Nolan Show and others say they have, which would indicate that when there was protestations that companies were unconnected, that in fact they were connected. If there's documentation that shows that, then HMRC, as the recovery agency who can pursue those breaches, need to be equipped with that and need to come looking for it, and those who have it need to voluntarily hand it over. Otherwise, it really is so much hypocrisy to jump up and down about people avoiding tax, but conceal from the authorities who can call them to book the very information which would enable that to happen. So I think there is a burden on the BBC to look at the other side of the coin and hand over this information. I think the government needs to look at where further our finance acts need to close as many loopholes as possible and anticipate as many loopholes as possible so that the shenanigans are brought to an end. Because we do want to see our economy boosted by lawful and legitimate and expected tax income. And that does require us all to pull our weight and not to exploit every tax avoidance or tax delaying tactic that there is.
Jim, before you go this morning, obviously another story that we will be covering today, the 30th anniversary yesterday of the Enniskillen bomb. And the fact that the memorial was removed, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was there yesterday. It was a very moving, very poignant occasion, and one could just get a slight insight into the continuing raw horror of all of that. As to the issue of the memorial, I'm appalled that it cannot be located where it needs to be located, at the spot where the bombing took place. And, you know, we heard a lot about the spirit of Enniskillen after that bombing. Does the spirit of Enniskillen not extend to allowing this memorial at the spot it should be at to remember those who were brutally butchered on that occasion? And I'm just quite appalled that there is any procrastination or any difficulties being presented to the siting of this memorial where it needs to go. And I do call on the Catholic Church to move swiftly to facilitate this in the spirit of Enniskillen that we heard so much about.
Why do you think it was removed?
Well, it was removed because those who technically own the ground say that they are not prepared yet to consent to it. Well, I think the more important question is, why are they not prepared to consent? You know, this is out by the public footpath. This is where the bomb was laid, in the reading rooms owned by the church, and it was their wall, as it were, that fell upon all these people and killed them. So, you know, I think the question is, why are they prevaricating? Why are they delaying on this? Why, in the spirit of Enniskillen, are they not coming forward and saying, let's do it? Rather than add to the anxiety, my goodness, you heard this morning, Mr. and Mrs. Galt, and the anxiety is self-evident, and it's only adding insult to the great injury that they suffered.
Well, we do have a statement from St. Michael's Diocesan Trust, who own the ground, and they sent us this statement yesterday in which they said that they've just recently received documentation from the Ely Centre requesting the location of the memorial and the Trust property. It'll be for the Trust to give this matter due consideration, they say, while taking into account its obligations arising out of the lease arrangement with the Fermanagh University Partnership Board and the nature of its reconciliation work in the wider community, while also having regard to the legal complexities involved, they say, Jim.
Well, I don't know what they're talking about.
What's that mean? While nature of its reconciliation work in the wider community. What's that mean?
Well, that would concern me. I make the point again. It won't be told about the spirit of Enniskillen. My goodness, there's no greater need for reconciliation than bringing comfort to those who were needlessly, brutally robbed of their loved ones by terrorists. You know, are they suggesting that to dare to say, as this memorial does, that these innocent people were murdered, that in some way is contrary to reconciliation? I think not. And as to them not having noticed, if there was a planning application and there was, then of necessity, as a neighbouring property, they must have been informed of the planning application and consulted in that sense. And to suggest that now it's come as a great shock to them that there's planning permission to erect a memorial on a ground which technically is theirs, I find that hard to believe. And I think that they need to man up on this, and they need to accommodate that which is in the community interest and stop hiding behind anything else.
Okay. Jim Allister, thank you very much indeed.